may proceed.
Chief Justice Phillips will be joining us momentarily. We're ready to proceed on the second case.
May it please the court, Cynthia Hooper Egwit will present argument for the petition. She has served 5 minutes of rebuttal time.
May it please the court, my name is Cynthia Hooper Egwit, and I'm before you as an Assistant Attorney General for the State of Texas. On behalf of her agency, the Texas Department of Transportation, formerly known as the State Department of Highways and Public Transportation. This case arises from a ship, a sailing vessel colliding with a drawbridge over the Seabrook Kima Channel. The facts applied to a jury who found that the plaintiff, Sophie Ayres, was 60% negligent, and that the bridge tender, an employee of the State Department of Highways and Public Transportation, was 40% negligent. The trial court then applied pure comparative negligence, which is the standard under maritime law, to provide the plaintiff with a recovery in this case. The trial court reversibly erred by applying the maritime rule of pure comparative negligence apportionment to the jury's verdict, because this was a cause of action under the Texas Tort Claims Act. Pure comparative means that a plaintiff's recovery is going to be offset by his negligence, and he will recover the remainder. Therefore, the plaintiffs have a recovery under the trial court's ruling and under maritime law. Under Texas law, the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code 33001 provides for a 51% bar rule, which means that if the plaintiff has over 50% of the negligence, he is barred from recovering his action. Had that rule been applied in this case, which is the appropriate rule under Texas law, the plaintiff would have had no recovery and a take nothing judgment would have been entered. Pure comparative, the application of that pure comparative permitted liability under the Texas Tort Claims Act where none would be available under Texas law, which is contrary to the plain language of the statute. I will read the pertinent portion of Section 101.021, that a governmental unit in the state is liable for property damage, personal injury, and death caused by the negligence of an employee if it arises from the operation or use of a motor-driven vehicle or motor-driven equipment, and the employee would be personally liable to the claimant according to Texas law. The Texas law, as I told the court, is 33001, and that should have been applied to this case. This case is governed by the Texas Tort Claims Act rather than maritime law. I will say at the outset that I have little argument with the maritime law that has been presented in this case. I understand, and the state understands, the policy of uniformity. The state understands the test for maritime but local. And the state would urge that none of that applies in this case. And that is because of the nature of this defendant. While the facts of this case may have maritime characteristics, this is not a maritime case.
Counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't the essence of your argument that in this case the plaintiff was put to an election of remedies? In other words, if they're going to proceed under the Texas Tort Claims Act, they're bound by the remedies, the liabilities that are imposed under Texas law under the Texas Tort Claims Act. They cannot pierce state immunity by proceeding under the Texas Tort Claims Act and then claim a recovery under federal maritime law. Is that your argument?
I believe that's the way of stating it. Yes, Your Honor. If you take the benefits of the statute, you must also accept the limits. However, I would not say that the plaintiff was put to an election in suing this defendant in that he has no other choice.
Well, they could have brought a maritime action, couldn't they?
Not against this defendant, Your Honor.
Well, no, because of state immunity.
Yes. And
the
11th Amendment,
only way they could proceed was under state law.
Yes, Your Honor. They do not have a maritime cause of action in federal court
proceeding,
because of sovereign immunity.
Then you're saying if they would not have a maritime cause of action, they cannot claim a maritime remedy.
Correct. They do not have a maritime cause of action against this defendant. Had it been any other defendant, we wouldn't be here.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why you are here.
With this defendant, the only avenue for a cause of action is provided under the Texas Tort Claims Act. The state is absolutely immune.
Their election was to proceed or not to proceed.
Correct.
If they wanted to proceed, they had to do it under state law in order to pierce the state's immunity. They had to proceed under the Texas Tort Claims Act with its limitations.
Yes, sir.
The other election was to not proceed at all because of the state's immunity, which is not pierced by maritime law.
That's correct.
Why not? Why doesn't the Tort Claims Act waive sovereign immunity for an action under maritime law?
Because the Texas Tort Claims Act is a limited waiver of immunity. It waives only that immunity for which liability is created under the Act. I would refer the court to one of...
It doesn't create liability, does it?
It specifies the liability that will be permitted under the Act in 101021. Then a companion portion of the statute, 101025, says the sovereign immunity that we're waiving is abolished to the extent of liability created by this chapter. So yes, in a way, it is created by the chapter. There is no liability against the state absent the Texas Tort Claims Act.
It says 101.021 says a governmental unit in the state. The state qualifies there.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is liable for property damage. That's what we have here.
Yes, Your Honor.
Approximately caused by, that's what's alleged in this case. The negligence of an employee, that's alleged in this case.
Yes, Your Honor.
The damage arises from the operation and use of motor-driven equipment, that's alleged in this case.
Yes.
And the employee would be personally liable according to Texas law. He would be.
No, Your Honor, that's where the state would beg the difference.
He wouldn't be?
No, the employee would not be liable according to Texas law because Texas law provides that there is no liability where a plaintiff is found more than 50% negligent. The Texas Tort Claims Act only waives liability for negligence.
So, in other words, if the employee were less than 50% negligent, then the state has waived immunity as to admiralty suits. But if the employee is more than 50% negligent, the state has not waived immunity as to admiralty suits.
The relevant negligence is the negligence of the plaintiff, Your Honor.
I'm sorry. With respect to the plaintiff.
And I would urge that the Texas Tort Claims Act does not give a waiver of sovereign immunity for any admiralty or maritime causes of action. If an admiralty or maritime situation, a fact situation, which might ordinarily lend itself to maritime or admiralty law, also happens to fall within the parameters of the negligence permitted under the Texas Tort Claims Act, then that cause of action, as a Texas Tort Claims Act cause of action, may be brought. However, it is not an admiralty cause of action under the Texas Tort Claims Act. The Texas Tort Claims Act is very specific as to the negligence it allows the waiver of immunity for. And it happens to fall under the facts of this case, the operation or use of motor-driven equipment. That is what has provided the cause of action in this case, not the fact that there was a ship or a drawbridge or water. It is despite the fact that there was a ship, a drawbridge, or water, or in spite of it. That is just absolutely immaterial to this case because it is a sovereign defendant and we must look at the Texas Tort Claims Act.
Well, I just took you through the elements and you agreed that all of them were present in this case except the employee would be personally liable according to Texas law.
Yes.
Now, if the plaintiff in this case were less than 50% negligent, would there be a cause of action in admiralty allowed by the Texas Tort Claims Act?
No, Your Honor. There would
Why
be a
not?
Cause of action under the Texas Tort Claims Act allowed in this cause of action, and had the plaintiff been 50% or less negligent, we would not be here.
So you cannot sue the state in admiralty anywhere, anytime?
No, Your Honor. That is provided by the 11th Amendment prohibition against the state in federal court, which the Welsh case tells us. The Lyons case specifically says that you can't have a suit in maritime law under the Texas, against the sovereign. The cases need to be read very carefully in that there is a very loose usage of terms in talking about maritime causes of action in maritime law. For example, the Misfit case says that the Texas Tort Claims Act waives sovereign immunity for a cause of maritime negligence. Well, the point is, if the maritime situation of negligence falls within the fact situation of negligence permitted by the Texas Tort Claims Act, it will be permitted. Maritime law is not applicable under the Texas Tort Claims Act. And that's specifically said in the Lyons case. There have been numerous cases, indicating that the limits of the Texas Tort Claims Act, again, as we said earlier, if you adopt the benefits of a statute, then you have to accept the limits. The Supreme Court of the United States has said that in the Tungus case, and numerous times the courts of this state, for example, in Trinity River Authority, the cap of the Texas Tort Claims Act is upheld as a limit that is part and parcel of the waiver of sovereign immunity, and you must accept the limit if you're going to accept the benefit. The Kamani Court recognized that the notice provision was a limit, which plaintiffs had to acknowledge if they were going to have the benefit of the cause of action. But for the Texas Tort Claims Act, there would have been no cause of action. The Dopieras have not been deprived of a substantial admiralty right by the Texas Tort Claims Act, but rather they've been permitted their day in court. Absent the Texas Tort Claims Act, they would not have had a day in court. They would have had no cause of action. I would urge that, contrary to the respondent's brief and the Court of Appeals opinion in this cause, the statute is not silent as to the law that is to be applicable, but says it very specifically in 101021, that only if the employee would be personally liable to the plaintiff according to Texas law, rather than specifically listing each and every law that might apply to each and every circumstance that might come up under this statute. They have part and parcel in that phrase embodied all of Texas law in the statute and said that's the law that's supposed to apply in cause of action under this statute. The Tort Claims Act expressly conditions liability on the use of Texas law. This comports with the purposes of limitation on liability. By mandating in the use of Texas law, you have a uniformity to the result. You also have a way of evaluating the risk. You know what the result is going to be. It's not going to change by cause of action. It's not going to change by plaintiff. Texas law is going to be applicable. It also protects the state coffers. The state treasuries are what is depleted when judgments are rendered against the state, and the Texas Tort Claims Act has the limitation such that there would be a limit on the depletion of the state coffers. The trial court committed reversible error by applying maritime law to the jury's verdict because pure comparative is not Texas law and is in fact absolutely contrary to Texas law. And it provided the Dopieras with a recovery where Texas law would not. Or in other words, it made the state liable where they would not be liable according to Texas law. The second point briefed for the court was that by applying pure comparative, two classes of plaintiffs were created. The trial court's action was not based on the theory of recovery in applying the pure comparative, which was simple negligence, but on the nature of the plaintiff, maritime. Had it been other plaintiffs, they would have followed the Texas rule, and the plaintiff would have been barred from recovery. This means that if you have Texas citizens coming in under Texas law, suing her sovereign, they are limited by the 51% bar rule. However, you have maritime plaintiffs coming in, and the coffers are open to them. This doesn't comport with the rationale of the legislature in limiting the amount of recovery under the Texas Tort Claims Act. By applying pure comparative law to a cause of action under the Texas Tort Claims Act, the trial court impermissibly created two classes of plaintiffs.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Terry Ireland will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. The most compelling argument I think we just heard was the argument about the depletion of the coffers. There's no question that in this instance that would be the case if the trial court and the appellate court decisions were upheld. Our position is very simple. Once the waiver of immunity is granted by virtue of the Texas Tort Claims Act, when you waive it, you waive it. And there isn't an asterisk and there isn't a caveat in the act that said except for admiralty or maritime causes of action. The legislature could have inserted such a provision so that anybody would know that if you only had that election and that was the only remedy available to the plaintiff and you chose to take that, you had to wrestle.
Counsel, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you concede that the plaintiffs had no cause of action under federal maritime law?
Yes, sir, we do.
They had no cause of action because of the state's immunity.
Yes.
They concede that. If they were going to proceed at all, it had to be under the Texas Tort Claims Act. Is that correct?
Exactly.
There's no question that as far as liability is concerned, under the facts of this case, as found by the trial court, Texas would have been liable. But as to the application of damages, you're now saying that you can assert the maritime measure of damages as opposed to the state measure of damages. Doesn't the Tort Claims Act clearly say liability under Texas law, the exposure is bound by Texas law?
Your Honor, it does ordinarily. I take the position in this case that because of the very paramount concerns of a maritime situation, which this obviously was, that federal maritime precedent takes place, and there's no question that that is a pure comparative standard.
You're saying that once sovereign immunity is pierced, that it's an open ballpark, that you can drag in any conceivable measure of damages that you...
Your Honor, let me speak to that just if I may. The case relied on by the state wherein the cap, the $100,000 limitation, was upheld. That was set into the act. It was put in there by the legislature to set out the parameters of what the act could afford to the litigants. In this case, the act is silent as to what, if any, role traditional maritime law should apply. If it's silent, I believe that maritime law has to be applied, and I don't think the trial court could have done anything else. There is over 175 years of precedent, and the pervasive view
that was 175 years of precedent under maritime law.
Exactly.
Not under the waiver, the limited waiver of liability of the Tort Claims Act.
That's right, Your Honor. Again, I say that
the state could not have been sued at all. The state could not have been made a defendant under maritime law because of sovereign immunity.
That's correct.
And you had to proceed under the state's very limited waiver of liability. And
that's
now
correct.
You're saying, but the measure of damages should not be bound by that limited waiver of liability.
That is correct,
that
Your
you
Honor.
Should be able to impose 175 years of precedent of maritime law.
Your Honor, I think there are many overriding concerns for the upholding of traditional maritime concepts that override the very limited usage of the sovereign immunity in this case.
The argument is that the last phrase in Section 101021B of the Tort Claims Act imports the limitations of state law on the liability for which sovereign immunity is waived under that act. What's your response to that?
I don't believe that is an effectual limitation in this type of case. And again, Your Honor, I think that if the legislature deemed that an important consideration, they could have placed it on there so the maritime litigants would have known.
Is there any remaining state law of admiralty?
I don't believe so.
Do you know of any other states with a comparative bar such as Texas have that do you have any authority where a federal maritime suit has been brought in state courts under
Your Honor,
a waiver?
The Pope and Talbot case, which we cite in our brief, the situation was brought in Pennsylvania where the defendant tried to impose at that time in Pennsylvania a full bar for a finding of contributory negligence. That was discarded, the United States Supreme Court saying that no bar as to contributory negligence should prevent a plaintiff from recovering, and it has to be a pure comparative standard. We think that was the law in 1973. We still think it's the law today.
Was that in the tried in state court as a federal maritime suit? Or?
Your Honor, I do not recall whether or not that suit originated in the state court or not. I will, in response to Justice Phillips' question, there is a case we cite in the brief wherein the court discusses whether or not that would be the Trinity River Authority case, whether or not the bar that the state talks about should preclude the plaintiff from any recovery. We simply believe that it has to maintain a pure comparative standard to uphold, again, and I know I've said it too many times already, but the necessity for uniformity in maritime law supersedes and outweighs any consideration, I think, that would fall under the Texas Tort Claims Act. In closing, I would just like to say that in order to examine the question of whether Texas state law of comparative negligence applies to a maritime negligence claim filed under the Act, the court must determine, one, whether there is an admiralty rule already existing, two, whether there is a state rule dealing with the area, whether there is a conflict between the two existing rules, four, if there is no admiralty rule, whether one should be fashioned, and five, if no admiralty rule needs to be fashioned, whether the state rule be allowed to control. We contend that when you apply this five-step analysis, it's clear that there is an admiralty rule already existing, and it's worked. And it's worked for a long time, and we don't think this case demonstrates that we need to carve out an exception to make an asterisk by admiralty and maritime law everywhere in the United States, but on Texas, no, under the Texas Tort Claims Act.
Counsel, how do you respond to the argument that you cannot pick and choose, you cannot pick to be the beneficiary of only the benefits of the statute or Texas law and not be subject also to its limitations? That's an appealing argument to me of why is that wrong?
Your Honor, I don't understand fully what the limitation is that's provided by the Act. When you read the Act in its entirety, it's silent as to any cause of action brought under a pure admiralty theory as this one was. I don't think the limitation that the court is addressing here would be applicable to the case at bar.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Texas Tort Claims Act is silent as to a maritime cause of action, and that is exactly the point that the state has been making today. The Texas Tort Claims Act waives sovereign immunity only for those acts specifically enumerated or those types of negligence specifically enumerated in the Act. Brown v. Owens out of this court tells us, and I quote, that the Texas Tort Claims Act was enacted to abolish governmental immunity in certain instances and to grant permission to all claimants to bring suit against the state of Texas for all claims arising under the Act.
You're saying maritime characteristics are irrelevant in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. Right. I would also refer the court, as Mr. Ayers has said, that they should not have a little exception. Maritime doesn't apply. I take that little asterisk on the other side and cite the court to the Public Utility Commission of Texas versus Foper, which this court wrote and said, no, there shouldn't be exceptions. It says that the court can't write special exceptions into a statute to make it inapplicable under certain circumstances that are not mentioned in the statute. Maritime is not mentioned in the statute. I would close with a quote from the Trinity River Authority versus Williams, which Mr. Ayer cited to you. And at that point, on page 886, the court stated, even if maritime law should apply, this fact situation is within the Texas Tort Claims Act. That is because you have a sovereign immunity protected defendant in the state of Texas.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument and the second call. The court will now take another recess.